reverse engineering Ticketmaster's rotating barcodes called SafeTix. This is an article that keeps getting sent to me that I want to go into. I hate Ticketmaster. Ticketmaster has made going to live events one of the most painful experiences. I miss the days where you could just, you know, print a ticket on paper and that was like the proof that you paid to the event. Now you have to download an app and have this weird scanning barcode thing. So apparently in this article, they go through like what this ticket actually does and a way to bypass it. So I want to talk about this. Screenshots won't get you in, but Chrome DevTools will. Okay, that's probably going to highlight what's going on with this little little rotating barcode here. I recently purchased tickets to a concert from Ticketmaster. If they had issued me normal printable PDF tickets, I could save offline on my phone. This article would have never been penned. Yes, but of course, in 2024, nothing we can do online can be simple anymore. Dude, 100% agree. It used to be so simple. You would print out a piece of paper and that would be some kind of like signed token and like a QR code or like a barcode that said, yep, you have access to the event. And in their defense, Ticketmaster has a system to prevent that from being stolen, but at the same time, at what cost? After finalizing the purchase, Ticketmaster discloses that I can't print off tickets for this event. Instead, they issue tickets via a system called Mobile Entry, aka SafeTix. This takes the form of a rotating barcode displayed inside Ticketmaster's web app or Android app. Another thing that I hate that for me to do anything in modern society, I need to download a friggin' app, dude. To go park at a parking garage in the city that I live near, I have to give the company that owns a parking garage code execution on my phone. I hate that, dude. Let me give a man the money, please. Let me give a little gentleman my $5, and if I'm there late, they take away my car. I don't know. This drives me friggin' nuts. So, okay, so there's an app, and they present to you this rotating barcode. Perhaps I'm getting old. I'm right there with you, buddy. 30. Oh, hurts. But I remember a time when printable tickets were ubiquitous. One could print off tickets after buying them online or even in person. Yeah, remember ticket counters? And bring these paper tickets to get entry into the event when you arrive. They could be saved as PDFs and viewed on pretty much any device on the planet. PDF tickets work even if your phone loses internet connection. Yeah, dude, that's the worst part too. So like, I'm assuming what happens here is there's some API you have to go out and hit to like get the actual barcode that like is a signed token from Ticketmaster. But the problem is, hey, shocker, when you're going to an event, there are likely thousands of other people at this event. And so the cell towers that are in the region of the event likely are not designed to support thousands of connections at the same time. So when you have thousands of people with their phones out making some call out to Ticketmaster.com to get their ticket, most of the time it doesn't work. Now, these rotating barcodes, on the other hand, are far from perfect. I experienced this firsthand last year when I attended a very popular concert where they issued a similar rotating QR code system. Numerous people, including myself and my friends, were floundering at the entry gate, citing a bevy of broken barcode problems. Number one was my phone has no internet connection, so my QR code won't load. The fact that I need the internet to prove that I paid for something when like receipts exist just drives me crazy. Okay. The venue was so crowded that cell towers and Wi-Fi were overloaded. What did I just say? And internet access was spottier than the Dalmatian with chickenpox. That's a pretty good. I like that. The company responsible for this ticketing nightmare, and I can't remember their name, obviously had no phone line support. And even if they did, it probably wouldn't have worked. The venue employees were completely helpless. Our only hope was to keep refreshing the ticket app, wildly waving our phones in the air in the hopes that we might catch a brief moment of cell network coverage with which to fetch and then display the ticket QR codes to the venue staff. Dude, it's just a disaster. The support for these companies is non-existent. Remember, my wife and I, we bought tickets for some event. We use like StubHub, which effectively is like a market for like ticket resellers. And it was the night before the event, and my wife still didn't have the ticket in like her StubHub wallet. And we called support, and after like an hour or two of support, they're like, oh yeah, it'll probably show up tomorrow. I'm like, brother, the event is tomorrow. And you said the word probably. Like, is that really the kind of like customer assurance you're going to give me? Insane. In the end, I luckily caught some cell service and loaded our ticket QR codes. We left behind a slew of other ticket holders waving their phones. I already did this. I paid $300 for this high tech experience. Okay. The marketing. So Ticketmaster markets their SafeTix technology as a cure-all for scammers and scalpers. So again, I'm not defending Ticketmaster. What I will say is that the whole point of this technology, this DRM, is to prevent people from being able to like steal your ticket or from being able to scalp tickets. That being said, I think Ticketmaster literally as like a business practice is a scalper. And like they have a monopoly on ticket sales. So yeah, no one can scalp the tickets because Ticketmaster has already artificially inflated the market, right? But that's a different rant for a different day. SafeTix are powered by a new and unique barcode that automatically refreshes every few seconds so it cannot be stolen or copied, keeping your tickets safe and secure. And yeah, so I think what's happening here is that they're basically erasing at any given point some part of the PDF, like the barcode format. So a barcode scanner can't see this because the blue part is blocking it, right? And so they need to use a like Ticketmaster specific barcode scanner that knows how to account for that and get the barcode to scan. Ticketmaster SafeTix are powered by a new and unique barcode that automatically refreshes every 15 seconds. This greatly reduces the risk of ticket fraud from stolen or illegal counterfeit tickets. Our secure ticket technology reduces it. Okay, so they're basically like, they're very bullish on fraud, right? They're trying to get rid of the fraud. The barcode on your mobile ticket includes technology to protect it, which means screenshots or printout of your tickets will not be scannable, as I mentioned before. This triggered flashbacks to the concert last year where I pictured myself haphazardly waving my phone around, praying for service like Saul Goodman in the desert. Yeah, this is literally like, this is me at every concert. I'm like four people from the ticket checker, and I'm like begging my phone to like get the ticket out of the server. But Ticketmaster was prepared for this anxiety. Concerned about cell phone service at venues, this ticket has you covered. Once you view it in our app, your ticket is automatically saved, so it's ready. Great. So as long as I trust their app to not have a seizure on the day of the concert. Too bad I really don't trust that, besides the fact I don't want to install their spyware on my phone. Exactly. Like the fact that to use a product that I've paid for, that I've paid $300, for example, for, I have to give the company remote code execution on my phone just drives me up a wall. Motivations. Yeah, so why is this person doing this? It's pretty clear why Ticketmaster is pushing this technology. SafeTix makes it harder for people to resell tickets outside of Ticketmaster's closed, high-margin ticket resale marketplace where they make a boatload of money by buying low and selling high to customers with no alternative. Yeah, exactly. Like, this is why everyone hates Ticketmaster so much. They literally have built a monopoly for ticket sales so that they are the scalpers. They buy all the tickets and kind of figure out where the market will allow it to exist and sell it at high prices, right? It's literally evil. It pushes users to install Ticketmaster's proprietary closed source app, which gives Ticketmaster more insight into their users' devices and behaviors. Their anonymous advertiser ID and stuff like that, they can get more information about your behavior to figure out what kinds of concerts, kinds of events to advertise to you. And then people can't save and transfer tickets outside of Ticketmaster. This forces ticket holders to surrender their friends' contact information to Ticketmaster, who can use this data to build social graphs or conduct other privacy-invasive practices. Yeah, so if you want to give a ticket to a friend, you can't just like give them a picture of a ticket. You have to transfer it within Ticketmaster's marketplace, which is just building out more advertiser data to figure out like who they can sell tickets to. Ticketmaster will never admit to these motivations, but it cannot be doubted that these effects have been manifested regardless of Ticketmaster's intent. Yeah, exactly. And they're all good news for Ticketmaster shareholders, if not for their customers. Yeah, I think this bubble will pop. I don't know how long this kind of environment can last, either through like legal trust busting or people saying like, fuck you. But yeah, the contradiction. If you have any experience with computers and software, hey, that's me. Then having read all of Ticketmaster's marketing, you might come to the same question as I did. How can tickets be saved offline if they also can't be transferred outside of Ticketmaster? The ticket is digital. Saving data offline is the same as copying it to your hard drive. If data can be copied, it can be transmitted. If it can be transmitted, it can be shared. If it can be shared, it can be sold. Yeah, so this is part of the issue, right? Like, even if they're using a new ticket every 15 seconds, something about that access or that API call lives dormant on your phone, right? Like, there has to be some kind of secret that you have that Ticketmaster needs you to confirm that you have to do the action that gets you the ticket, right? So the ticket itself is digital. Even though it rotates, something about that ticket lives on your phone and could be sold to somebody else. So how does this work? Reverse engineering. Ah, yes. Nitty gritty. My day job. Reverse engineering and finding vulnerabilities in software. This is what fuels me. Okay, let's see. My first order of business was inspecting the barcodes themselves to see what I could learn. The format is pretty simple. They're a PDF 417 barcode. Yep, that makes sense. You get this little action here. You store the information inside of this format. Let's see what the format actually looks like. We have the start pattern, like a preamble, left row indicator, data, right row indicator, and stop pattern. Okay, this is like an Ethernet frame, right? You have the preamble and the postamble to kind of tell the scanner like where to read. And then you have these indicators of where the data actually starts and the data inside. Okay, straightforward. Boom. And it encodes UTF-8 text. And as I mentioned earlier, the blue bar that sweeps across the barcode is just a gimmicky CSS animation. It doesn't actually prevent screenshots of the barcode from scanning because PDF-14 has error correction properties built in. Oh, interesting. Hold on. So how does that work then? Because I thought maybe it was like because it was covering at any given time the preamble, the data, or the postamble, it would be fine. But it's saying that it has like forward error correction inside of the format, so it doesn't actually do anything. That's interesting. Okay. Let's see. It seems like other older barcodes encode different formats of text, but my barcodes, Ticketmaster web app, was generating embedded data that looks like this. Okay, so we have some magical little base64 blob, and then like maybe like a timestamp, and then maybe like a user ID and like a venue ID or something. Disclaimer, this isn't from a real SafeTix barcode. I don't want Ticketmaster to be able to identify and harass me. It's actually smart. If they had used a real thing, they could have like maybe associated their user ID and then like sued them or something. This looks like four different distinct pieces of data delimited by colons. Hey. First, there is some base64 encoded data, following by two six-digit numbers with a Unix timestamp trailing at the end. Okay, yeah, exactly. When the barcode rotates every 15 seconds, its content changes slightly. The base64 data remains static, but both six-digit numbers and the timestamp change. Okay, interesting. These six-digit numbers likely behave like a time-based one-time password. This is what powers 2FA apps like Authy, Google Authenticator. They use rotating six-digit codes, which can be generated from a shared secret and a timestamp. Yeah, so if you ever go into like Google Authenticator, you've probably seen this app where basically you're given a secret code that you can use on applications like Google, like Discord, like GitHub, or GitLab or GitHub. And the way this works is when you register an app with the authenticator, you give it two different things, right? You first of all give it a secret code that now you and the authenticator have, right? Or you and the auth provider have. But the problem is all because both of you have this does not mean that it's secret, right? Because if anyone can intercept that message being sent, it they can just replay that message. So what they also do is they use a time-based one-time password where they do an HMAC, a message authentication code with a hash, and they put the current time inside of that algorithm to make it so that you can't replay the secret password, right? And that's why you have a rotation that happens here every 60 seconds, Google off. And then according to this article, the one-time password is time-based on a 15-second cycle for Ticketmaster. My instinct was the first two numbers are indeed TOTPs generated for different secrets using the Unix timestamp appended to the end of the barcode data. This makes sense. Ticketmaster wouldn't want to reinvent the wheel with the system, so they used a tried and true and tried and tested cryptographic tool as a building block. Yeah, guys, here's the thing, right? If you are designing an application, if you are doing anything that requires secrecy or authentication or anything, don't invent your own crypto. Go read an RFC with an approved protocol that does what you need it to do. And so here they're using TOTP, which is a good practice. Let's see here. The base64 data was still a mystery, though. Decoding into its constituent 48 bytes, it doesn't seem to contain any meaningful data structures that I could discern. It seems more or less like random data, and since it doesn't change when the barcode rotates, it's probably more kind of a random bearer token, which identifies a ticket holder and their ticket. Yeah, because if this were TOTP, this would be a static secret, and this would be the time, and then you would use this to go out and like do the request with Ticketmaster. And the ticket is scanned at the venue. Ticketmaster, or perhaps a venue, looks up the ticket metadata using that bearer token and then validates the two OTPs against the two secrets stored in the database. If both steps pass, then your ticket is valid and the staff can let you in. Yeah, so basically it's like, yeah, they're using this bearer token to determine who you are, using this as a TOTP with the bearer token, and then from there, looking up your account, do you have a ticket for this event? Here's a secret. TOTPs are very customizable. Yeah, so I don't recommend customizing it, but you can do a lot of different fancy things with the TOTP pattern, right? But generally, the software industry has settled on a set of common defaults for TOTP standardization. You really only need to have two things generate a TOTP: a shared secret, which is just a byte array, yep, and then a working clock. And the idea here is the shared secret is static. Like, once you register a TOTP with a provider, you keep a secret, they keep a secret, and you use that to generate a token that expires effectively, right? And the current token that you're on and its expiration are a function of not only a working clock, but a shared clock. You have to be able to synchronize the algorithm at that time. If you guys don't have a shared time, the current code that you're on isn't going to match up, right? If you have both of these, you can generate as many TOTPs as you like entirely offline. There are two TOTPs in the barcode data, so there are probably two shared secrets that I need to find. Oh, they're saying these are the TOTPs. Interesting. Okay, so these themselves are the authenticator. Yeah, there are two of them. Why are there two? Okay, maybe there's like two different APIs, and then they have the associated timestamp. Weird that they would share the timestamp, but okay. So my goal is not much clearer. I need to figure out where these tokens and the secrets come from. Yeah, exactly, because if you are able to generate a TOTP to talk to the server, that means in the app somewhere is a secret that you're using to generate that token and the associated algorithm, right? Debugging the web app. I booted up an Android phone and connected its Chrome browser to the Chrome DevTools on my desktop computer. This gives me a view into Ticketmaster's API and the source code. Ooh. By recording network requests as I loaded the Ticketmaster barcode viewer, I found one particularly interesting request. Post API render ticket secure barcode time equals time, something ID equals blank and format equals JSON, and its response data is, ooh, a lot of interesting stuff, but there is a tickets field here with a token. Okay, fan is null, JWT for the actual pass data, interesting. Note the token property in the object in the tickets array. I Base64 decoded it, and I found out it was just another JSON object. Ooh, okay, I heard you like JSON. I rescanned the barcodes shown on the Ticketmaster web app, and so that T is a static bearer token, CK and EK are the TOTP secrets that I'm after for these two. Yeah, some like server key and like ephemeral key or something maybe. Under some further investigation in Ticketmaster's minified website source code, in a file called presence secure entry JS, I found the actual function the web app uses to generate barcoded data, which is labeled generate signed token. Love it. Crazy that they minified it, but still named it generate signed token. Minification takes a bit hard to read, but it seems like EK and CK probably refer to the event key and customer key respectively, while the bearer token T is referenced as raw token in the code above. It appears the two TOTPs are generated with a 15-second step interval, but are otherwise constructed in the same way as the ubiquitous industry-shared SHA-1 TOTPs we see in the mobile 2FA app. The first one is generated with the event key, and the second with the customer key. Finally, the Unix timestamp for both TOTPs is appended to, with verification on the server side. I verified my interpretation. I installed OAuth tool, which is a tool that you can use to basically generate these pins using predetermined algorithms, right? So you plugged in CK and EK using the Unix timestamp, and he got wonderful. Yep, the exact same pins that were used in the barcode. So this is effectively meaning that they can generate, that means they can generate tickets. The event key is probably unique to the particular event being ticketed, and the customer key is probably unique to the ticket holder. Yeah, okay, so that makes sense, right? You want to be able to look up the user, look up the event, and make sure they have a matching entry in a database somewhere. Let's see. They don't appear to change at all, unlike the raw token, which seems to rotate every time I refresh Ticketmaster web app. However, if I leave the page alone for several hours, the raw token doesn't change, suggesting it should remain valid even after closing the web app. Pirating tickets. I now know everything I would need to know to duplicate Ticketmaster's barcode in a custom app or even resell a ticket outside of Ticketmaster's closed marketplace. All I would need to do is extract the Base64 token property from this API endpoint or engineer a way to fetch that token dynamically using Ticketmaster session credentials. The Base64 token string is the ticket. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So when you're doing TOTP, at the end of the day, even though you have this rotating six-digit pin, right, it is derived from some shared secret that you and the provider have. And so in this case, that secret is this. Oh, no, sorry. This the secret is the token, right? The token in the request. And so if they can access that token reliably, they can use that to generate the barcodes. Let's see. If you have a valid raw token, event key, and customer key, you can generate the valid barcodes, indistinguishable from the original Ticketmaster app, sort of checking photo IDs at the entry gate. Short of checking photo IDs at the entry gate, the venue staff can't tell whether the person at the gate is the same person who the ticket is registered to on Ticketmaster, right? Because you have the ticket, the code to both of those. Quite hilariously, Ticketmaster actually makes token extraction easy on us. The token is logged to the browser console automatically when the barcode renderer component is mounted on the web page. Dude, no shot. No way. It's not a secret, right? It's not a secret they're trying to keep from you, because like you as the user have to use that token to create a TOTP passcode to do the auth, right? But the fact that they just kind of give it to you and are using this for the base of all their DRM is crazy. This means we don't even need to mess around injecting custom user script into the web page to get the token out. You can just open your SafeTix barcode on the Ticketmaster web app, connect your phone's Chrome instance to your laptop's Chrome DevTools, open the console, you'll see the token printed there, and you can copy it and use it however you would like. And this token is a shared token, and it's static. It does not rotate. So this one is the one that you can use to do whatever you want to do. That is awesome. The only unknown factor here is raw token lifetime. It's difficult to know for sure how Ticketmaster's backend server uses raw token to look up the ticket. It's likely that a new raw token is generated every time the client contacts the endpoint. I have no idea how long each raw token remains valid. It's possible that only a single raw token can be valid for a given Ticketmaster account at a time. Indeed, Ticketmaster devs probably designed the system that way to prevent extracting multiple tickets which are currently valid. Interesting. Okay. If multiple ticket tokens are valid concurrently, one person could buy dozens of tickets, extract however many ticket tokens they would like, and resell them under the table. Okay. So they at least understand that, like, the user can still use that token to get access to the ticket, right? And as a result, they're trying to, like, gatekeep access to multiple tickets at the same time. I would really love if Ticketmaster didn't think of that, because then I could extract the ticket tokens for my friends and distribute them without having to go through Ticketmaster's yet a harvesting pipeline. Yeah, exactly. I could only authoritatively source. I could find this in an obscure document on Ticketmaster's developer API docs. I'm shocked they even have API docs. Oh, because partner APIs have to be able to talk to Ticketmaster. That makes sense. Okay. Based on this, it may be reasonable to assume that the raw token is only valid for a 20-hour period, which means you need to fetch the raw token at most 20 hours before the event to be able to resell or transfer it without Ticketmaster's permission. However, if all you want to do is save a ticket offline, this is more than adequate. I even built a little expo app I call Ticket Gimp, which renders safe ticket barcodes if you give it a token. They blocked out the token for obvious reasons. That is hilarious. I look forward to testing it out when my concert comes around. In conclusion, I think we can all agree, fuck Ticketmaster. I hope their sleazy product managers and business majors read this and throw a tantrum. I hope their devs read this and feel embarrassed. It's rare that I feel genuine malice towards other developers, but to those who designed this system, I say shame. Wow, they are upset. And I'm rightfully so. I think Ticketmaster is one of those companies that people generally just like, not big fans of. Shame on you for abusing your talent to exclude the technologically disadvantaged. I don't know what this is. Oh, you're saying like people who don't have smartphones. No, I agree. That's a problem. Shame on you for letting the marketing team dress this dark pattern as a safety measure. They're talking about safe tickets. Yeah, about the fact that like you don't own the thing you purchase, basically. And shame on you for supporting a company with such cruel business practices. Yeah, I did see this. Basically, Live Nation is a giant entertainment company that bought Ticketmaster, and Live Nation has been caught shutting down venues that don't use Ticketmaster. Like, they won't host events at venues that don't use Ticketmaster for their ticket sales. Software developers are the wizards and shamans of the modern age. We ought to use our powers with the austerity and integrity such power implies. You're using them to exclude people from entertainment events. Have fun refactoring your ticket verification system. Break up Ticketmaster is a website dedicated to breaking up the trust. Wow, that's crazy. Insane read. I love reading these. There are these fundamental issues behind DRM where, like, at the end of the day, the user needs to be able to go out and get the thing, right? They have to be able to go out and acquire the product that they have purchased. So what methods are in place to do that? And how is the company protecting the crux of that access, right? The secret. And in this case, you know, it's a simple TOTP pattern and you can go extract the secret from the web app. Pretty interesting stuff. Solid read. Go check out Conduition's website here. They do a bunch of these kinds of articles and write-ups on their findings. They are not on Twitter or socials, but I think they do have code on GitHub, and you can probably hit them up on Proton. Go show them some love. If you guys like these kinds of videos where I break down articles like this, if you ever hit that sub button, I really appreciate it. And then go check out this video about the McDonald's web app in India that has basically zero security. We'll see you guys there. Take care.